J.P. Morgan in the hot seat on Capitol Hill.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Friday, the 15th of March. And today, senators have been grilling J.P. Morgan executives about huge losses that the bank blames on a trader nicknamed the London Whale. The senators, on the other hand, say new evidence suggests the blame goes further up the chain at J.P. Morgan. Marketplace's Scott Tong has been following the developments, and he is with us from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Scott, first of all, what did the senators find in their investigation into this, and how are these J.P. Morgan executives responding this morning?
Well, initially, as you recall, the suggestion was one unit inside J.P. Morgan, where the London Whale traded, made all these bad bets, $6 billion in bad bets. Well, this new Senate probe of internal emails indicates the Whale wanted to stop it, but his boss is said to keep on going, and that these managers ignored warning signs and misled the public. Just now, the head of the unit where the London Whale worked, Ms. Ina Drew, began to testify, and she said, "No, London misled me.
Some members of the London team failed to value positions properly and in good faith. They minimized, reported, and projected losses and hid from me important information regarding the true risks of the book."
And Scott, why is Washington looking into this in the first place?
Well, they smell a broader problem here of bank risk management in general, and that regulators were asleep. So it may be the whole system, according to Democratic Senator Carl Levin.
"Firing a few traders and their bosses won't be enough to staunch Wall Street's insatiable appetite for risky derivative bets or stop the excesses. More controls are needed."
Now, finally, Jeremy, just very quickly, later testimony from others at J.P. Morgan will suggest the unit where the London Whale worked exercised poor judgment and execution. So we're going to see fingers pointing in all directions when this is all said and done.
And perhaps get some more answers. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
Well, President Obama is scheduled to visit the Argonne National Lab outside Chicago today to give a speech on energy policy. It'll be another attempt to get traction on a move away from fossil fuels, as Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
First, you need to know where we are now. Michael Weber is a University of Texas professor. To him and other energy watchers, things look good.
We're producing more energy and consuming less, which means imports are going down.
A major administration goal is more green energy, which supporters say can help the environment and create jobs. Georgetown professor Joanna Lewis.
The United States is falling behind other countries like China in terms of the scale to which it's deploying renewable energy in the last few years.
The Obama administration wants to fund more research to change that. Amy Myers Jaffe at University of California, Davis is all for that, but isn't a fan of more loan guarantees to private companies.
Money is better spent in the area of R&D and fundamental science and not so profitable in supporting existing businesses.
As you'll remember, one high-profile mishap in the first term was backing for Solyndra, a solar company that went bankrupt. In Washington, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Today is match day in the world of medicine. 33,000 aspiring doctors are getting word on where they will be spending their next 3 to 7 years in residency programs. But with a rapidly changing healthcare economy, what kind of on-the-job training does a doctor need in 2013? From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Paintings of physicians and professors line this marble hallway in one of the oldest buildings on the University of Pennsylvania Med School campus.
These are big names in American medicine here.
Dr. Bill Hansen, who helps oversee resident training at Penn, stops in front of an enormous painting.
That's Dr. Agnew there pontificating in front of an auditorium full of amazed medical students.
The Agnew Clinic was created in 1889. Hansen says the painting embodies the godlike position doctors held for more than a century.
The central figure in medical care is that isolated one professorial figure there in white. And everyone else around him is in shadow, very, very different from what we're talking about today.
This is the picture of today's doctor, the team huddle.
So what does that tell you about acid-base type disorders? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
That's Dr. Brian Smith, who's wrapping up his training at Penn, making rounds with an assorted crew of nurses, students, and residents. Smith says teamwork is critical for improving patient health, avoiding errors, and holding down costs.
We'll say, you know, does anybody have any other ideas? Are there any concerns that we're not addressing? Are there any questions that anybody has? And a lot of times that evolves into a dialogue.
Dr. Bob Wachter at the University of California, San Francisco says doctors can no longer just take care of sick people.
Now, I like to say that the doctor of the future has two sick patients. One is the person they're taking care of, and one is the system they're working in.
So while residents at UCSF still pore over case studies like they have for generations, they're also getting a lesson in economics.
They get that if they're doing CAT scans when they shouldn't be, not only are we bankrupting companies and the government, we're bankrupting people.
Wachter says now it's an obligation to teach residents the business side of the profession, because while the days of the godlike doctor have ended, physicians are still the central figures in medicine. And Wachter says it's up to this new crop of doctors to treat what ails the healthcare system. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And finally, to the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where the prize for best cheese in the country went to a Wisconsin-aged Gouda. Second place went to a Vermont Tarentaise. And third place went to a medium cheddar, also from Wisconsin. And I was trying to think of something cheesy to say at the end, but I got nothing. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.